Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I watched the Knicks overcome a 25-point deficit and win the game.
This is my nightmare.
It is kind of a nightmare. Knicks night. Not that good. It is Knicks night. What happened? I was still going. I had a whole verse about the Bulls ready to go.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
Oh, boy. Well, there's a half hour of show prep out the window. Thanks a lot, Tyshirt.
You're welcome.
It. Yeah.
Couldn't have been any more than 4.5 minutes. What the hell are you talking about?
But writing a song, Mike, you think big songs just happen? You need a good half hour to write lyrics for songs.
So I figured we wouldn't have heard it until after Fenley's next update.
Come on. Yeah, see, I mean, look, Axl Rose probably needed, you know, probably 8 or 10 minutes to write the lyrics to Sweet Child of Mine. I mean, give me a good half hour, I'll give you some songs.
Well, I had some years of hard living and some relationships in a weird spot to get to that 10 minutes. But yeah,
you know, and here's the thing, that in music, right? Just to say this, because I've been wanting to say this for a while now. After going through the best of lists of the 2021 in music, what did I miss? Any bands, new bands, everything else? Every new band that ever gets recommended to me on Rolling Stone or Vulture or whatever it is, I read the same things and incredibly catchy hooks that are radio friendly. And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good. And they listen and I go, these are all filler songs. These are never songs that would get played on the radio. Everybody is so, I don't think, because music has been so, has evolved so much, I don't think critics now can identify what a catchy hook is. Or they spend way too much time on, oh, the lyrics to this song. Look at the lyrics. Think deep. The lyrics can be anything to a song. They could be anything. It could be about going to Target. It doesn't matter. But no, if you're telling me the lyrics are so great, it means the song stinks. Okay? So, you know, it's about the music, and the words can be anything.
Okay.
They can be anything. You don't sit in your car and sing songs.
Bernie Taupin is going to come kick your ass.
That's a great. What did it take Elton John? How long to rewrite "Candle in the Wind" for?
No, wait a minute. You can't one song out of hundreds
seconds?
And just say, all right, he changed a few lyrics, and people got pissed off, and it became this big hit, and whatever else. No, that's one.
But you brought up Bernie Taupin. I think they were on the phone for like 5 minutes. Okay, goodbye, England's. Okay, great.
Okay, right, that's great. Fine. Dismiss the original work.
No, the original work is great. But I'm telling you, how long does it take to write a song? I could write a song. I could write a rap song in about 8 minutes. I just got to find words that rhyme.
Will it be any good?
Sure, it will be. I'll just use the same beat all the way through. That's why.
Can I just ask, in the write-ups you were reading about the new music, did they all say, hey, kind of reminiscent of Led Zeppelin?
No. It's like, this is for anybody who would like Deep Purple meets Lil Wayne meets Billy Ray Cyrus meets... I'm like, what are you doing with this? Really, I don't think people who review music know anything. I'd be a great music reviewer. I would say, hey, that song rocks. Boom. Buy it. Listen to it. And I'm done. There you go.
Well,
I'll give you great songs.
We talked about this between the movie reviews of David Gascon last night and now you with your music reviews made done in 30 words or less. That's it. We move on. I like it. The economy of wordsmithing. And that's funny because we've now gone 3 minutes without talking about the Knicks.
I forgot. Oh, thanks for bringing me back to the topic.
You blew it! No, I had to. I had to because I have some fun stats that people are going to go, what the hell? So, yeah. Especially if we have the sound of that crazy-ass finish.
I got stats. You know, that was a line that never worked with me with girls. Hey, I got stats if you need them. Like, what do you mean stats? Like, you have no idea what Evan Fournier did tonight. Who's
none
Evan
of the
Fournier?
Point? Look, if they had to ask what the stats were, they weren't on the same wavelength.
I got stats for you.
It didn't necessarily have to do with the box score. If you just said, I got stats, and they gave you the knowing nod, that was it. It's go
time. Can I buy you a drink? Because I got stats for you. Like, what kind of stats? Oh, I got a stat on Jonathan Taylor. Ooh, you are going to say, oh, my goodness. Buy me one more drink and I'm yours. Oh, yeah, I got Jonathan Taylor stats. I got Keenan Allen stats that you're just going to swoon and you may faint over.
Stop stealing off Frostburg's desk or looking at his paper.
But, yes, the Knicks overcome a 25-point deficit to the Boston Celtics tonight. It is an insane game, the largest comeback in 17 years when the Knicks trailed by 26 against the Bucks. And Giannis, okay, Giannis wasn't playing then, but it sounds better to say that. They overcome a 25-point deficit. They have the ball in the final seconds, and everybody's All-American, R.J. Barrett, who was 3 for 14 on the night, had the ball, and this is how it ended.
5 seconds to go here in Super Bowl 17. Dolphins trailing the 49ers by one. This will win the game for Miami. There's the snap. Marino holds the kick. And it's wide. Oh, no, it's no good. Ray Finkel blew a 26-yard field goal. I don't believe it. The Dolphins lose. The Dolphins lose.
Tyshir, what's the courtesy for that?
Dolphins Radio Network.
It is. Oh, Dolphins Radio Network on the call. I mean, who could forget? It was really very difficult. That was very tough. But with just seconds remaining, R.J. Barrett with the ball. The Knicks and the Celtics tied at 105. You can hear the Madison Square Garden crowd roaring in the background. This is how the game ended.
Luis la pone en el suelo, sigue Luis. Luis dispara bombazo de tres, falla y el rebote es para los Lakers y un segundo, se acaba el tiempo extra, victoria para el equipo de Los Ángeles. Especialmente en una serie como esta, hay que anotarlo desgraciadamente para el novato Connie Lee.
I believe that was the Fox Sports Deportes on the call, and I think I heard the Lakers, and I think I heard Courtney Lee. Right?
Yeah.
Was that the game? Was that the finals game when Lee missed the layup at the end?
Maybe.
Or the Magic? Oh, how about me picking that out of the? Oh, I'm hot already tonight. That was the Courtney Lee missed layup
game. You pick out keywords. It's like, wow, you really understand foreign languages. Nah. I just did a process of elimination based on hearing the terms Lakers and Lee.
That was the end of what game? It was like game three of the finals in 2008, and the Lakers are going to win, and the Magic inbounded the ball, and it crazily got to Courtney Lee, like right under the basket, and he went up and he missed, and it was like rolled off the rim. I remember the look on Kobe Bryant's face like, oh, come on, man. We almost lost that game. All right, so without further ado, here on Fox Sports Radio. Remember, real credit card questions require real people. Someone who understands your issues, works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. As we discover how this game ended tonight. Knicks, Celtics, tied at 105. Knicks with the ball and seconds remaining.
Here we go. Far sideline, half court left. 1.5 to go. Tie game at 105. To Barrett.
Oh, wait, stop. Wait, stop. Oh, so this is the real one now. I thought there'd be more. Oh, okay. I was expecting
something
else.
No, man, we got to keep the line moving, man.
Okay.
We got
all right,
3 minutes of you trying to be a half-assed music critic. We had to move on.
Like a rhinestone cap. Okay, so here it
Number
is.
Number one hit in any era right
105, 105 seconds remaining.
Tom Moore than at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a
here we go. Far sideline, half court left. 1.5 to go. Tie game at 105 to Barrett. One dribble. Right wing three for the win. Baker is good. He banked it in. Barrett banked it in. And the Knicks have won the ball game at the buzzer. They're mobbing Barrett at the table. Unbelievable. The fans going crazy. R.J. Barrett gets the inbounds. Fire drill. Lets it fly at the horn and banks it in for the right wing. And the Knicks over the Celtics. 108-105 at the Garden.
And the Knicks carrying Spike Lee off the court right now. He is incredibly happy. The greatest moment of Spike Lee's career. He's being carried out saying, no one told me. No one told me. What a big night for the Knicks here at MSG.
just an impressive win, right? Down 25, getting bludgeoned. You got the showcase, Fournier with a huge night. Jason Tatum still doing crazy things. And in my timeline are all the, I still can't believe that guy's just 23. That's right. He's just getting warmed up. But you look at the shot. I mean, you couldn't have defended it any better.
No, I mean, come on.
Unless Mutombo came flying by and swatted it. I mean, obviously, the block shot is the only way to better defend it. But, I mean, he's got him blanketed. He's falling away. He's been awful all night, right? To that point, he was 3 of 14.
Oh, yeah. He was terrible.
And up it goes.
Yeah, that's it. Look, there's nothing you can – look, when you bank it in at the buzzer, what else can you expect? It's like, okay, it happened. I'm really pissed, and we're going to put it away and try again another night. But, you know, look, with this win now, the Knicks improved to 38-9 on the season. And
whoa.
What? You said you had stats. I got stats. Knicks are 38-9 now.
Did you come from an alternate universe? Have we entered No Way Home?
Yes, I did. I did. When Doctor Strange created those – sorry, spoiler alert. When he created the – it's in the trailers. When he created the parallel universes, I went to one where the Knicks are good. It took me about 50 or 60 different Earths to get there, but I finally got to one where the Knicks are good and make the playoffs.
Okay, who looked more tired? Tobey Maguire in No Way Home or Matt Damon in the Crypto.com commercial?
Ooh, I'm gonna go with Matt Damon in the Crypto commercials. It's Matt Damon. Tobey Maguire just looked way older than everybody. Buddy, and sorry, spoiler, yeah. Tobey Maguire's in No Way Home. He just looked a lot older than everyone, and I'm saying to myself, it's supposed to be the same time he was fighting as in the original movie, which was 20 years ago. Hang on a second. They needed to address that he looked that much older than everybody else.
Well, you know,
you need to address that.
That's okay. You leave it for the next one.
Yeah.
Because you can always circle back. Wait, was there enough criticism of that? Okay,
yes.
Then make a movie about it. Go.
Then there'll be One Way Home or Two Ways Home or Three Ways Home. How about that? Home Sweet Home. Motley Crue can do the song.
Bling, ding, ding, ding. I mean, since the tour has been indefinitely delayed, you know, the one that wasn't supposed to happen again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look,
you know,
look,
after I shelled out all that money to go to that final. Anyway.
Yeah, David Lee Roth retired now, is nowhere.
Again!
I know. He's like Jordan. I'm out. I'm back. I'm out. I'm back. No, but look, this is the thing about the NBA right now. And look, I tell you that once you get to game 40, everybody's kind of who they are, right? If you're a team that's really good at game 40, you're going to be really good at the end, right? The Bulls are really good now. They're going to be good at the end. The Nets are good now. They're going to be good at the end. But there's going to be a couple of teams, and I'm praying the Knicks are one of them, obviously, but there's going to be a couple of those teams that turn out like the Hawks did last year, where maybe they don't play incredibly great during the season, but they peak at the end and into the playoffs. Because there's going to be at least one of those teams in each conference that maybe because of the way the schedule is, hey, you know, we just had 3 games in 7 days. We played the Nets, the Bucks, and the Bulls, and the Warriors. You know, so maybe you don't see it in the record, and it's maybe a little bit, they're just a little bit above 500. But there's going to be a couple of those teams that can put stuff together and say, hey, we can make a run here. You know, it's not just the top couple of teams in each conference. And you know what? The Knicks are talented enough to do it. The Knicks are clearly talented enough to make that run and be one of those teams. And they just have to figure out the right way to not piss off Tom Thibodeau and to figure out how to play defense and get enough offense. But the Knicks can be one of those teams. The Knicks and the Nuggets are the two teams that can do that. Those are the two teams I look at that say, who's underachieving now that can give you a run later on? Knicks, I'll give you one team from the East, one team from the West. Knicks and the Nuggets are both of those teams.
Truly a curiosity right now. I mean, on the broadcast, they were talking about Jaylen Brown and Ben Simmons and all these people, you know, the rumors of whether Portland moves McCollum and or Lillard, all of those things. I mean, there's still some seismic shifts potentially here and guys coming back off injury. I just wanted, before we close on your Knicks, because you're all excited, RJ Barrett, the first Knicks player to make a game-winning three-point buzzer beater since Stevie Francis. Yeah, Steve Francis.
Wow.
March 10th. 2007.
No way. It wasn't Steve Novak? I mean, Steve Novak had to have done that at some point.
And get this. Knicks were 1-229 when trailing by 25 or more points in a game over the last 25 years. That's from David Bierman, or Behrman, ESPN, at D. Behrman, B-E-A-R-M-A-N.
Hey. I'll tell you.
And Tracy Morgan was fired up after that shot.
Nobody beats the Knicks 226 times in a row when they get down 25. Eventually, they're going to find their way back. I feel like I get one from last night because Syracuse blew an 18-point lead and lost, and now I get the Knicks who come back from 25 down.
See, all's even again.
I'm even now. That's how it goes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, today was a day and a half in the saga that is Antonio Brown, the Buccaneers officially releasing him today, claiming at no point did Brown indicate he wasn't able to play Sunday against the Jets because of an injury. Also on the statement, the Bucs say they tried to schedule an exam with an outside orthopedist this week, but Brown wouldn't comply with a request. Antonio Brown then goes on social media and shares text messages between he and Bruce Arians, proving that the team made him play through an ankle injury. He also shared some texts with trainer Alex Guerrero, who also trains Tom Brady, of course, and claimed the team mishandled his situation. Here comes the NFLPA with their investigation into what went on. And joining us now, nobody better. And I mean, there is nobody better in the world. NFL on Fox insider, longtime friend of the show. He's on Twitter at Jay Glazer. It is the aforementioned Jay Glazer. Jay, what's happening, man?
How you doing, man?
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, this Antonio Brown thing, I feel like I need Cliff Notes for it. Every day is something.
Wait. Don't ruin it for me. I got the whole thing on TiVo.
It's like a Netflix limited series at this point.
Oh, yeah. It's like Cobra Kai for me. Like, I just don't ruin it. I got from Sunday till now, I haven't seen anything. Don't ruin it.
All right. I won't ruin Cobra Kai. I'm in the middle of the fourth season right now. I won't ruin it for you.
Oh, I love Cobra Kai. Yeah.
But I will say this.
So listen, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'll because it's something I want to tell you. The Jets go for it on fourth and two and they don't make it. That's how it ends. All right, so there you go. Now you can say what you want to say.
Now, there's a lot of things obviously at play here. And, you know, there's the mental health aspect. There's the Bruce versus AB and AB versus the world aspect. And, look, as far as – I'll say this mental health-wise because, unfortunately, I'm I don't know if we say qualified or whatever it is, but man, I think anybody who plays at this level, you got a certain monster you have in the box. And the monster for me, it sucks and it's a bad deal for me to deal with, but it also is what motivated me to get to where I am. So in order to be great, you got to be crazy at a certain level. Okay. Whether at least the two sports I'm around, which is football and fighting, man, you're a different cat. If you go and take that football, ram your head against people over and over and over and over at this level, you got to be off going in. To take three steps up into a cage or a ring, something's off about you going in to begin with. Now, when I say this, it's not just AB. It's most of the league and how you handle that monster. There are guys that you would think are the most put-together dudes in the world. And I know from what we talk about is, man, that monster is constantly trying to get out of that box. And when you're on a team, right, and I have a lot of manic episodes of Fox, but they're my team. And when I am having episodes and a Kurt Menefee or Howie Long will go, hey, the sky's not falling. You're doing this and this, this. I've got to take accountability on myself. And I've got to say, okay, I got to be there for my team. I can't let the monster ruin my team. So the monster's there for a lot of us. It can't ruin our team. Now, as far as Bruce versus AB, it is a little mind-boggling to me, and this is not my relationship with Bruce Arians. It's mind-boggling where you have one guy in AB who, and again, I am sensitive to AB's mental health struggles or illnesses, whatever you want to call them, minor illnesses, right? And that leads to struggles. I'm sensitive to it, but it's, again, how we deal with it. And you have one guy, Bruce Arians, who's been coaching since Bear Bryant and really is kind of a king of inclusion. and the first guy who's trying to give people chances and hope, and gals now, and the coaching staff. And when you're kind of looking at the two of them, first of all, playing hurt. Man, it's your honor to play hurt. At least I coach my guys, my fighters, my football players at Unbreakable, to be honored that you play hurt. If I got, like, last year I tore my labrum and two rotator cuff tears, and, man, I would never let on to anybody. It was my honor that I can go spar someone with a torn labrum. I wasn't looking at, like, man, these guys are such you-know-what for making me spar with a torn labrum. That's my honor. It's a different level. I'm not playing high school football. And, you know, the fact that, well, let's just say this. Tom Brady playing with a torn MCL last year. I didn't see AB or anybody else complain about him playing hurt last year. Right? He was never upset about that. Right? But now all of a sudden he's so upset about being asked to play hurt. It's the NFL. That's what you do. You play hurt. And I know, like, mental health. So it's so weird. Like, when I train guys in Unbreakable, I am always showing them, don't ever show it. I have a thing called neutral face. Don't show it. Don't show it. Don't show pain, and let's ramp our own breaking point up on people. But mental health-wise, I say show it all. Be vulnerable. Tell it all. Be, you know, cry when you need to. Do whatever you need to. So they kind of don't run parallel to each other. They run more perpendicular. They clash, if you will. And, you know, my thing here is for everybody to be saying, well, you know, AB says this and Bruce Arians said that. I'm just saying, man, you got one guy who has had issues with four teams and another guy who's given him and so many others chance after chance after chance after chance. It's kind of mind-boggling that so many are attacking Bruce Arians in this. To attack Bruce Arians in this is so mind-boggling.
Yeah, I think, Jay, for some of it was off the jump of the post-game presser and certainly everybody trying to figure out what was going on. And so they call Bruce to task for that. Can you corroborate that?
Yeah, but Bruce did talk. He talked to me. Sorry that they're mad that he only talked to me.
No, I get that.
You're mad about that.
No, right? And that's just
and
it, right? It's relationship.
He talked to Peter King.
No, sure. Relationship
talked to me
business.
He talked to Peter King. And it's a relationship-based business. You shouldn't crucify a guy because he decided to talk to people he felt comfortable talking about. And by the way, Bruce said to me, I'm talking to you because you get this stuff. And when he said this stuff, he meant the mental health stuff.
Sure.
And the entire time Bruce said, hey, man, I will tell you this. I'll tell you this straight out. He said, do you think you could help him? And I said, no, because I don't think he understands his end of the problem yet. And there, when I was training Alden Smith, Alden said, hey, I've talked to AB. I said, what do you think? He said, not there yet. Like a lot of these guys that I try and help, you got to hit rock bottom of your own, or you have to know your own accountability. Like Kurt Menefee just had a talk with me last week as I came out of COVID and called me on the carpet for something. And it hurt. But I had to hear my own account. Like, I have to be accountable for my own monster that's in the box, my demons, my stuff that affects the rest of the team. And in the end, it's got to be about my team. It can't be about me. And as much as crazy as, like, my crazy stuff makes me so paranoid and unloved and feeling the world's against me. And I'm sure, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if AB has a lot of that himself. And it's a crappy way to go about life. But in the end, man, I love my team. So I've got to suck up what I have to either get help to help the rest of my team or look inside myself to help the rest of my team. Because we're flawed people. Like, I'm not, like, I'm a damaged, effed up dude. I am, but I'm good with my effed upness, if you will.
Well, I mean, I saw the video, like, to bring it up, Jay. I mean, what you posted on Twitter, I mean, and then the follow-up of finding the love in that community that reached out for the virtual hug, you know, from your, you know, from your deck there. I mean, you know, as we talk about all this and try to literally wrap our arms around it, in some cases, I mean, that was a very powerful thing. So I'm glad you felt that resonance from the community that trusts
I'm
you.
I'm feeling
and
it. Yeah, I am. Yeah. And it's still foreign to me. Like, it's so funny. I reached out Rick Jaffe, who was my first producer at FoxSports.com and Fox Sports Net when I first time there. And he just kind of gave me a, hey, I love you tonight. And I said, man, I don't know why you love me, because I used to jump you guys so bad. And yet you guys, and I said, I jumped you so bad because I was just always so, I felt so unworthy and I was always so afraid that everything was going to get taken from me and the world's against me. And I said, and yet you're still here. This is tonight. And he said, yeah, I'm still here because you care about us more than you care about anybody else. And for me to hear these things, it's so foreign to me because what my monster in my box tells me. And meanwhile, here I am today. You know what I felt great today? There's a guy named Mark Kerr. Mark, the Smashing Machine, first ever UFC heavyweight champ of the world. Here I am coming off COVID, and Mark and I wrestled and sparred today. And Mark punched me in the face about 40 times, and I was so happy today. That's off. You want to talk about issues? Like, the only thing that makes me happy is a 285-pound dude is punching me in my face, and I'm like, this is great, because I feel like I deserve it. Like, oh, my God, I felt so alive. That's off. That's issues. Now, you want to talk about crazy? That's crazy. But I've got to work to make sure my crazy does not take down the rest of my team. So if all of a sudden my boss said something to me and I got pissed off on Fox and I walked off in the middle of my show, how would y'all take that?
How would they take it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? Well, and also, if you guys walked off on your show, we can't do that. Yet, everybody here is sitting there going, gee, Antonio Brown versus Bruce Arians. If you put it this way, if your job, your boss tells you to do something, you tell him to F off and you just walk off the job, nobody else has a job. No one's compassionate for you. But here we are compassionate for AB because he can play football. But, man, it's Tom Brady moved that cat out into his house, and Alex Guerrero is the sweetest dude in the world, and here he is putting Alex Guerrero on blast. And we're still arguing about this? Like, come on, man. It's. I'm not saying Bruce ain't flawed. He is. That's what makes him great. But there's got to be an accountability at the end when you're like, I'm out. And again, AB, when he played for Pittsburgh, that dude wouldn't miss time for anything. Like, you don't miss time. Like, that dude, I will say this about AB, he is as tough as they come. He is a warrior. That dude was never, like, if he was ever questionable, Mike T would be like, it's AB. You know he's playing. You know he's going. And don't worry about that. And all of a sudden we're having this conversation here today where we're questioning Bruce Arians' ethics versus Antonio Brown's ethics. It's mind-boggling.
Jay, let me take you back lastly to what you said a couple minutes ago about how Bruce Arians asked you if you could help him, and you looked into it, and you know, you talked to Alden Smith and said he couldn't do it.
No. I talked to this. The Alden conversation was when I was training with Alden.
That's when the Raiders.
That's when the Raiders thing was going down, I think.
The cryotherapy or and all that. Yeah.
Or when he left Pittsburgh, I think it was when he left Pittsburgh because it was the off season.
Okay. So, what tells you when?
It was an off season. But literally, even after all this, Bruce said, "Can you help him?" And I said, "Man, I hope I can." So, AB, I would love to help you. I would love to. But anybody, like when I sat with Lane Johnson, okay, the reason I sat with Lane Johnson is because Lane said, "Hey, man, I need to talk about everything." I said, "Yeah, Lane, this isn't a PR thing, dude. Like, we're not doing this for PR. This is mental health. These are lives. This is real. So if we want to do this, we're going to do this so we can save lives." And he's like, "I won't hold back anything. I know my part, and I'll put it all out there." And, like, I think, like, you guys know, obviously, you see how much I talk. I think I asked 4 questions. Lane just talked. He was honest. He was raw. He was vulnerable. There is strength and power and vulnerability. It's not strong and not powerful when you don't take accountability and make excuses for your own effed upness. And we've got to do that. Like,
man, it's all of us. I'm just telling everybody there who's listening to this, you're going through some stuff. I could promise you this. Talk to your friends about it. Be honest, and it will bring you closer together. It'll bring you closer together. This year, I went down to the Super Bowl because I was in a rut. Obviously, it was the Super Bowl, but I also went down to meet with one of my all-time best friends, Rondé Barber, and this guy, Ben Heldfund, who's in our crew, and Brian Radigan. It's like our crew forever and forever and ever and ever. And I just, man, I needed some help. That's why I went to the Super Bowl. And I literally sat with these three guys. I'm like, listen, y'all know I've been crazy, but I don't think you understand the pain I've been in. And my pain for this year, for some reason, has gotten out of control. And our relationship has gotten so close as a result. They didn't judge me. They didn't tell me to man up. I've taken responsibility for my issues and I've caused those guys some grief too. Like, I've caused them grief. I've caused issues. I've got to take that responsibility. And so everybody else out there is listening to this. I promise you, if you talk to your crew, your husband or your wife or your friends or whatever, and you take your own accountability and responsibility, it will get you closer. I'm not promising you that the darkness will go away, or bipolar, or depression or anxiety will disappear. But what I am promising you is that you'll get closer together and you won't have to walk this walk alone and suffer by yourself in silence. And that's where I was telling Bruce, like, he's got to see his own end of this in a bigger way. It's got to kind of be more on him. And, you know, look, when he takes all the responsibility on himself, then actually others will be even more sympathetic. But it's scary to think that, man, I could just pull my skin back and show people how messed up I am, and that they'll still actually like me or love me or admire me. It's, you know, and again, for me, it's such a foreign feeling to consider that. And I have such guilt for the carnage that I cause so many other people. But I have that guilt. AB needs to feel the pain that he caused other people and get the help, because he deserves the help. The bottom line here, too, is even after all this, Bruce Aaron's like, look, like, he deserves to get that help. But we got to be the ones to come from the inside out for that help.
There is nobody who fights the gray harder than Jay Glazer. On Twitter, @JayGlazer. Anything you need, he'll answer your questions, inspiring things there. Yep. Again, everything is there at Jay Glazer. Unbreakable,
hey, Jay,
everything else.
Yo, don't forget to say happy birthday to your Uber driver for us, okay?
Yes, absolutely. No doubt, man. Happy birthday to Howie Long, baby.
All right. And he's got time now. He knows how the Jets game ended. He's got time. He doesn't have to watch it anymore. Jay, as always,
appreciate you, buddy.
Keep fighting the good fight, man. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great one.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, it was a tremendous interview with Jay Glazer a few minutes ago about the issues that Antonio Brown likely is facing. Look, wherever you want to put Antonio Brown's situation on the spectrum where he is for mental health, is it boy, he really needs a ton of help? Is he his own worst enemy?
clearly he needs something because this is the fourth team that he has blowtorched his way out of. And look, you got to be responsible for who you are, and you have to be able to own up to your mistakes and things you do. And look, everything he's done has been on brand for him, right? You can't be trusted, all of these different things. But in the end, you want this stuff to stop, right? And that's Jay Glazer looking at it from, hey, you know, I want Antonio Brown to stop. I want him to be a better member of the NFL and continue his career and keep playing and look and be a better person. And the thing is, and Jay really hit it on the head, Mike, is that when he talked about Bruce Arians, Jay and Bruce Arians very close, talked to him about, can you help Antonio Brown? And Jay put it out there on the show saying, AB, I will help you. I mean, this is Jay Glazer doing this here now, who has been a mental health warrior now for a long time, saying, AB, I will help you. Whatever it is, whether it's confidence, whether it's, I will be able to help you. But the number one thing that comes to it, no matter what, someone has to be ready. Because you could be the best person in the world to try to help somebody with a problem, but if they're not ready, it doesn't matter. Right. It's like how I think about when I go on diets, right? Like I could say, okay, you know what, boy, I've eaten crazily the last couple of weeks on vacation. I need to go on a diet. If I still want to have a sandwich in the middle of the night, I'm going to have a sandwich, right? It's like, okay, I'm still going to have a sandwich. I have to be ready mentally to say, you know what? I don't want that anymore. And, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to go on a diet. Right? And that's halfway. You're halfway home right there. As long as you have, you know, that belief that now you're ready for something. And that's the thing for Antonio Brown. And that's the bad part of this is that he's not ready. Right? Clearly he's not ready because of the offensive he went on today with, oh, here's all the conversations I've had. And now this crazy story that he had a woman in his hotel that was the night before
thing,
that, oh my goodness. So you can tell he's not ready. That's the saddest part is that I want to stop doing stories about Antonio Brown, being this outside the box and causing damage to different people on different ways. I want to be able to stop that, but clearly he's not at that point yet. And you need to get there if you're going to get help. That's number one thing you need. When you're ready, okay. But if you're not ready, doesn't matter who's helping you.
No, and that's the piece to all of it, right? As Jay laid out, you know, and we've talked about the last couple of days with, you know, Tom Brady opening his home and people saying, well, he should have done more when he was away from the team, you know, when he was suspended and with the injury, you know, what checks and balances and everything else. Well, part of that is, you know, the responsibility of checking in. You can't have it. The work's got to go both ways. And there's still a lot of, you know, gray as to what's going on. You're right. I mean, one of the questions, I guess, to ask, you know, in the follow-up when we talked to Jade X, like, are those real text messages from Bruce Arians? Because I could change your name to Bruce Arians and say, look at this crazy-ass conversation we had. Right? And it wasn't with you. It wasn't with Bruce Arians or whoever else. It was with you talking about, you know, our love of some, you know, late night snack. Right. So, I mean, it's there's still more of this to come out. And now the PA gets involved. But, you know, to Jay's point about Bruce Arians, I don't know that there's been a guy more as the man for inclusiveness in the NFL.
Great stuff again from Jay Glazer and Antonio Brown. We'll have more on this and a little bit of a different look on Antonio Brown and other NFL stars next on Fox.